I had my little box cutter in my pocket once. Where was it? It wasn't in my pocket even, or it was in my pocket. Anyway, it was. I just carry it, and it isn't a 5-inch blade, but. Oh, that was at the federal building in Pierre. And they, my knife disappeared. I had to replace it. Didn't even offer me a locker for my 99-cent knife. I don't understand. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Praise the Lord. Well, last week we talked about the grace and mercy and truth, the sandwich of grace and truth. Paul always said, grace and peace be unto you. And then in Ephesians, he said, and God, because of his great mercy, while we were still sinners, sent Christ to die for us in his great mercy. And so we always have the reminder of mercy, that there is mercy. We always have the reminder of grace, and we always have the reminder of peace. If we keep our eyes and our hearts on grace and mercy and peace, I'm grateful that there's mercy for me. Lord, help me remember there's mercy for other people too. I'm thankful that peace is available and I can just step into it. And I'm thankful that there's peace available for others too. May I reveal it. A place of peace, a shelter in a storm. You know, people are going through storms. And we want to be shelters from the storm for people. We don't want to be a leaky roof or a falling down house, but a shelter. And sometimes we are and sometimes we aren't. Sometimes we're selective of who we'll be a shelter for. You know? Picky about who we let in and shelter. But the Lord reminds us that we're not supposed to be respecters of persons, nor are we supposed to prefer people. And so, you know, we have various thicknesses of a Bible that's full of advice. And examples, ways to do things, ways not to do things, what's available when we lose our way. I mean, we got lots. And David said, your word I've hidden my heart. Of course, it was easier for David because there wasn't quite so much word when he was hiding in his heart. No, that's not true. Because it was all there, everything about God, the simplicity that is Christ. It's simple. And yet when God is telling us all these things, I ended the last devotional with saying that the Lord said, always be aware of the faith. That's not so that we sit around scared of the thief, but to beware. In Genesis, God said to Cain, he said, why are you so angry, Cain? Because, you see, God had accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. I have a lot of thoughts now and then about why Abel's and not Cain's. Except for the difference in the offering was is that Cain gave some of his crop, and Abel gave the very best of his flock. And so it was just a teaching opportunity for Cain. And so he just said to Cain, you know, why are you so angry? Look, you'll be accepted if you do what's right. That offends sometimes people, things. You'll be accepted if you do what's right. Who do you say what's right? I guess I'm nobody. But if you happen to be at my house, I do have a say in what's right. I have preferences. It's my thing. And so he said, But if you refuse to do what is right, and he says the same thing to us, if you refuse to do what's right, that's entertainment. If you refuse to do what's right, then watch out. If you refuse to do what's right, then watch out. If you refuse to do what's right, what's rising up in you? Rebellion. If you refuse to do what's right, watch out. Watch out. Sin's crouching at the door, eager to control you. Eager to control you. Looking for the opportunity to take control. Just because you're in rebellion hasn't yet given him control. But he's waiting. He's waiting for you to step over the line so he can grab control. So that he can accuse and abuse. So just watch out. Watch out, because he's waiting. Always be aware that he's waiting. So then do we spend all of our time looking over our shoulder and thinking about the devil? No. But we need to have discernment to know when he's nearby. We need to use our discernment to recognize, wait a minute. That's not me. I'm not rebellious. That's not me. I can be angry and not sin. That's not me. I don't have to be bitter. That's not me. And you see, when we take that authority, then we put the enemy where Jesus did when Jesus came out of the wilderness. And the enemy tried and tried and tried. He attacked him at every place that he could. He tried to get him to question who he was. If you're the Son of God, the enemy will try to taunt you with, well, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't act that way. We need to take that as a reminder and be grateful to God that we heard the truth. That's right. I'm a Christian. I don't act that way. I'm a Christian. I don't speak that way. I'm a new creature in Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. Those are the things that are on the table before us in the presence of the enemy. Many things. And if we will but look unto the Lord, he'll highlight the one that we need. Our hearts will be steadfast in what God wants. But God's just saying, just be aware. But at the same time that we're aware that the thief is there, the enemy is there to tempt, to steal, to kill, and destroy us, also be aware that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If we refuse to see the enemy, then there's a good possibility that we won't put into practice the things that we know. Right? If we don't need, a lot of times, you know, people don't pray unless they need something. And unfortunately, the enemy has done his best to take away praise from our lips. And that shouldn't happen. Praise should be continually. The fruit of our lips giving thanks, praise flowing from us continually, giving glory to God, giving honor to God. That should be something that's not just reserved for, you know, special times, but that should be a lifestyle. Praising and thanking God. Well, I can't be praising and thanking God all the time. Why not? If we can criticize and complain, can't we praise and thank? We can. And the Lord said, you'll be accepted if you do what's right. And it's not, his burden is easy, right? His yoke is light. It's not like it's, I know this is going to be tough. I know it's just so hard to praise. I know it's just so hard to keep gratitude. He didn't say that. He said, if you do this, don't we like to be accepted? We like to be acceptable. The problem comes in if we are more concerned about being acceptable to people than we are to God. If we get trapped into being a people pleaser rather than a God pleaser. Rather than being aware of what would please God, what would please God at this moment, what would God want at this moment, we can be tricked into thinking about what we don't have at this moment. Instead of moving into faith, we can move into fear. Instead of declaring, we can move into doubt. Those things are all, be aware, the thief is always prepared. Sin wants to take us over. And sin is falling short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God, Jesus put the power of sin to rest on the cross. As we come into Easter and the world begins to look at the cross, we're thankful that we can look at the cross 365 days a year. And we will look to the, we can declare that. I'm gonna look to that. Because you see, the cross, I saw this in prayer the other day. I thought about it. I looked at the cross, okay? And if you look at the cross, it's like our life goes along and along and along and along. It's going along. And if you could see everything in our life, you would see there's intersections all the way in our life. There are places where we make decisions about where to turn. As we get up to the cross that Jesus hung on, now we come to the great intersection where Jesus Christ intersects our life and we have an opportunity. And I thought about the picture of Jesus hanging on the cross, and he was hung on the cross, and on one side of him was a mocker, his left side, I'm guessing. And on his right side, at the right hand of God, his right side, was one who called upon him. We have many intersections in our life, and every one of those intersections, we have an opportunity. Will we go right or will we go left? Will we call or will we mock? Will we choose or will we deny? Now the big thing is to come to the cross of Christ, come to that intersection, make the choice of Christ who hangs on the cross, and go right straight up. Because straight up is the way, it's the truth, it's the life, it's the direction that we always want to choose. So if we know, if we are again aware of things, if we are just aware, you know what? When he hung on the cross, there were two thieves. One said, "Lord, remember me." One prayed. The other one mocked. And if we're aware enough of that, we won't be choosing to be a mocker. And if we do happen to turn toward the mocking, we'll have Holy Spirit drawing us back to go the other way. If we will just be aware that the thief, that sin is waiting to take control. Tempted isn't controlled, right? But the ultimate of that is just waiting for the opportunity for us to step too far. To go too far. To just go our own way. With that assurance that God understands. But understanding and approving are not the same thing. See, we know these things. We know these things. We know these things. But sometimes we fail to consider these things. We do. We sometimes just take an opportunity to just go down and down and down. Everybody, well, maybe not. Jesus didn't, but everybody else has had the opportunity to just keep going down a road that they knew they shouldn't go down. We can get into a conversation, then we can get out of the conversation. We can make the right move out of the conversation, but we can continue to think right down that road. And all the time that we're thinking down that road, and all that time when we've got those things that we know that we would never say out loud, but we're thinking them. Right? Things that we would not say out loud, but we're thinking them. And then we're thinking, well, as long as I'm not saying them. But as we're not saying them and we're still thinking them, we're thinking, I don't think this is right. That's a good thing. Then turn and consider. Consider how close we were to letting sin take control. And that should produce thanks, shouldn't it? That should produce praise, shouldn't it? You know? Should consider those things. It's like getting an email, and the email says, signs of heart attack. And some of them they'll have a picture of a somebody's ankle, and it'll have a black and blue spot on it. And the enemy will say, you must be going to have a heart attack, Roger. And I'll say, that's just another good reason not to get checked. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Or you can look at something like that and just get sucked right down in a hole. You can become fearful. You know, some people become fearful of things and they'll go to specialist after specialist after specialist to make sure that what they're afraid of is real. When we should be inclined, you can be whatever you want, but I would be inclined. It's like when I went to the Farm and Home Show this time and the nurse was there ready to take blood pressure. I said, I ain't going to let you take my blood pressure. Last time you took my blood pressure, you told me how high it was. I only check where it's right. Why, have you had high blood pressure? Nope. I've had numbers that didn't prove what they wanted it to be, but I feel good. Well, you just sit here a while. And when she took my blood pressure, ho, it was sweet. That's the only one I need for this year. Yeah, I know. Probably not right, but I prefer to just go with that. Because here's the deal. The very worst thing that could happen is I drop dead. Won't find me complaining about that. You know? I mean, I know that I'm young now, but I'm way older than I ever thought I'd live to be. And that's got to be by the grace of God. And the only real reason to keep living is for the opportunity to just shine the light of God. To be available to let people know how good God is. To make that our life's goal, so that anything else is just intersections. Anything else is just distractions. We're living our life looking forward to the next opportunity. Looking forward to what God can do for other people. Because he is so good. He is so good. And you see, whenever whenever we are locked into God is so good, we're not easily knocked out of that. And when something comes, you know, if you're not paying attention or something and somebody bumps you, it can cause you to have to catch your balance. But if we're prepared at every opportunity to defend the hope that lies within us, it don't matter what comes. It don't matter what comes. It can try to knock us over, but it can't knock us over. Well, that doesn't mean that there aren't things that won't hit us and maybe knock us down, but when it knocks us down, we will be getting up. We'll be counting on the truth that God says, hey, I'll raise you up. I'll strengthen you. I'll carry you while you're getting strengthened. Don't look to the enemy that's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Look to the Father who's coming to pick you up and fill you with joy. See, this is what we have available to us, so that when we have this available to us and we make good use of it, then what is available to us becomes available to others. God will comfort you so that you can comfort others with the same comfort that you've received. John said Mary had a good word about leaving things at the cross. That's a good word. It's a comfort to her, and that comfort is offered to others. And when it's offered to others, then every time we have an opportunity, we'll remember, leave it at the cross. Leave it at victory. That's a victory tree. That is an overwhelming, overcoming supply. That's a recharge station that we can just come up and plug in for a quick charge. Or we can do what Jesus said and pick it up and carry it. Now, the cross that he intended for us to pick up and carry wasn't one to weigh us down. It was one to remind us what we have in the cross. People wear crosses on their necks and stuff like that, and some of them, it might be because it's a reminder of what Jesus did, and some of them, it might just be jewelry. Still nice jewelry. But it's a reminder. It's a reminder. It's not an annual reminder. It's a daily reminder. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. So don't keep it a secret. Let his light so shine. Let his light shine. It's such joy in that. There's such joy in that over one person. One person sharing good news with one person makes your day. You know? You'd be amazed at when I'm in jail, how excited the prisoners are when I share with them that a lady that was 101 received Christ. With a smile on her face and tears in her eyes. Wow, that's cool. I was surprised. You know, I mean, it's cool to me. I loved it. But they're going, wow. You know? Maybe it gives them hope. If somebody waits till they're 101, I encourage them, don't wait till you're 101. They're my friends at the jail. I tell them, you guys keep going the way you are. You ain't going to make it to 101. You know? They laugh. It isn't. There's nothing secretive about God. He is an open book. Open it anywhere. You can find something. If you don't find something at the first place you read, just keep reading. You'll find something. You won't have to go very far. You'll find more than enough to strengthen and carry you. They'll find more than enough to help you to overcome the wiles of the enemy. You'll find more than enough that you can think about, he is not taken over. You know, in the New Living Translation in Genesis where it says that, it says sin is waiting to take over, and that sin is capitalized because that sin is from the devil. He is a liar. He is the thief. He is everything bad. He is every temptation. He's all of that, and he's nothing to us, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Think about those things when you're tempted. Think about those things when you're fearful. Think about those things when you're worried. Think about those things when you're angry. Think about those things when you're bitter. Think about those things that the Lord has already taken care of for you. Because we do not feel good. Before we ever knew Jesus, we didn't feel good angry. We didn't feel good bitter. That didn't make us feel good. We couldn't be angry enough to feel good. Couldn't be bitter enough to feel good. You can't feel sorry for yourself enough to feel good. But you can call upon the Lord, and he will rescue you. Big or small, it's not taller than Jesus. Amen? So, Father, we thank you today. And, yep, we are aware, because we have our moments where we hear that voice that's trying to take control of us. We have those moments when we recognize this is not what God has for me. We have those moments. But we don't need to spend our time being afraid of them, just being aware of them. When we drive down the highway, Lord, we are defensive drivers. We keep an eye on things, but we don't just give up and stay home because there might be something wrong. And as we began this morning saying, boy, Lord, we're just thankful for all of those things. Thankful for friends making safe plane trips and people being able to drive here safely and for getting up breathing and for the opportunity. It's just, there's so much to be thankful for. Let those things, if there be anything worthy of praise, think on these things. So that's what we'll do. And we'll mostly think on you, Lord, because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.